We're going to be looking at the idea of honor. Honor your mother and your father, that it might go well for you in the land. And just to catch us up, it's kind of cool how the 10 words, that's what God's people would call the 10 commandments, they were the words that would describe the people that we are. And remember, we're a group of people that all subscribe to a knowledge, a code. We have a shared history. We have a shared suffering. And so we go back to the things like the 10 words, the 10 commandments, because it's God telling us who we are and what he wants for us, which is to be fully human and to enjoy things the way we were created to enjoy them. And so the first commandment is have no other God before you. So second one is don't use the Lord's name in vain, that you have this great honor. You know who your God is. He's given you his name. Use it. Call out to him. Don't abuse it to do whatever you want or tag him onto lies. And then the third thing was now Sabbath, now rest. So those first three describe basically a vertical relationship. That's the thing that never changes. This is what it is. God is God. He can save because he creates. He creates by his word. Let there be. He creates in you. And then by his word, he gives us words to call upon his name. We say, God, I love you. God, help me. Use my word. And then now because God is here, he's protecting you. You know his name. Now I command you to rest. While everybody else is hustling, while everybody else is trying to make a living, everybody else has to be out there working because they got to take care of themselves. You are my people. And you have a day where you gather around my creative word. And you celebrate because your borders are protected. Your enemies are at bay. Your crops will grow. I will take care of you. So you're the people who can rest. And that's cool. Or you can be the people who have another God and have to constantly hustle. Right? And we're always tempted with that. So God says, on the Sabbath day, I want to create these cycles for you where you get to enjoy work. And enjoying work means stepping away from it and looking at it every once in a while and going, this is nice. God gave me a job. This is nice. I can enjoy my house and my family. This is who you're going to be. But when you Sabbath, center around my creative word. And so we gather on Sundays, and we get recalibrated. And so we put God back here. That's why we sing some songs. We remember who we are. We're like, God, you're the God who loves me. You're the God who is providing. You're protecting me. And we praise your name, because maybe we haven't been doing that all week. Who knows? Doesn't matter. You're called to work and do things. Now, today, you're going to get reset up, and you're going to rest. And so the hope is we gather around God's word, and even if for an hour, that's why I don't even mind if you fall asleep. Because even for an hour, maybe you can't sleep at night, because your mind is always thinking. But even if in church you can sleep, I never want to wake people up, because you know what? This might be the only time you get peace, because you're in the presence of God. So it's okay. If you do it too much, I'll ask you to come in for special classes because you're missing a lot. But I want you to have peace. That's what we get. Now, that never changes. God loves you. God is God. He's worked this faith in you so that we can do this. And then he says, now I give you this relationship. It never changes. It's always faithful. It's always good. Nothing can snatch you out of my hand. But now we have this horizontal relationship with one another. Because in the story, there's like three main characters. There's God, there's humanity, and then there's the earth. And so, as we get into the next commandments, the next words are how we interact now with people, with God, people, and the earth. But really, people and the earth. And I know, if you've been here long enough, we've talked about the relationship with the earth, because it's God's creation. It's good. And we'll even see it in the command here. The earth is included in this command. And so we get these things right, and now we start to look out. Now, these next commandments that we're going to go over in the next several weeks, they aren't about salvation, because that's God is your God, praise his name, rest, and you can rest in the work of Christ. But that's going to have an effect on you. The more we become the people who rest in the work of God, the more that's going to affect us. And this is what God wants for us. He wants us to be a blessing, to remind people, you know, work doesn't have to define you. You can be a human. You can enjoy things. Or pleasure and the constant search for pleasure doesn't have to define you. And so God's like, I want you to be salt and light. you are my kingdom of priests. And the way you're going to win everybody is by being fully human, because you're under a God, you praise his name, and you get to rest. It's different than what we heard, but we have to conquer people in arguments. Maybe there's a time for that. But for most of us, if we can live there, it'll start to flow to everyone else. So today is the first one where it flows. Let me read it. It's good for us to look at the Ten Commandments every once in a while, because I'm going to quickly show you how they aren't forgotten in the New Testament. They're still good. Because remember, the law is good. It's just telling you how life works. Change your oil in the car. That's a good law. Now, when you don't change your oil, that law of changing your oil condemns you. My older sister had one of the first Hyundais ever made in the 80s. So it was kind of scary. Like, my family growing up did the opposite of what my family does now, which is you never buy the first 0.0. You always buy, like, the second version or the third version of something, you know, the second version of the iPhone. But growing up, we always bought the first, and they were always awful. And my sister didn't change oil in her Hyundai for 2 years, and then one day it wouldn't start, and the engine cries. Anyway, it was a garbage car now. That is a cruel law, oil. Don't you think oil, you're a little bit harsh? Seriously, you destroyed the Hyundai? That's how I get around. Right, but we understand how laws work. If you obey the law, the car would still be running, probably. Who knows? Anyway, so here are the laws. Let's go to verse number 12, Exodus 20. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord has given you. See that? There's a connection to land. Isn't that interesting? Did you ever notice that? That's connected. Well, now let me take you to Ephesians chapter 6. And there's several other references, but this is a good one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. It's going to be on page, if you're using the Green Bible, page 816. Ephesians 6, chapter 1. Here we go. Children. So Paul is like the first kind of pastor, and he's helping people understand what life is like under the reign of Christ. And he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes, commandment, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, then he goes on. So now he flips it to, when you're in authority, there's responsibility. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Slaves, this is this kind of servitude. Actually, when the Bible says slaves here, it's really talking about employees, like you're working for somebody. It's a good way to think about yourself, too. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Then he goes to masters. We're going to keep going. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them. Don't abuse your power, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. That's just setting up. What I'm connecting for us is honor your father and your mother is setting up the ideas of authority structures in our life, and that the authority structures in our lives represent God. They're supposed to represent God. This is a hard one. When you start at home, because it's like, well, how many of you have a yard with grass? And how would you say it looks good from the neighbors? The neighbors walk by, they think it looks good? No, it doesn't? Okay. Mine looks good. If you walk through it, it looks good. But what I know about my grass is it has probably 17 varieties of weeds and crabgrass in different places, and I know the crabgrass is only green until it destroys all my real grass, and then it'll die and leave it dead. I know my beautiful golden mounds are struggling right now with little black spots. And I have to spray this stuff. I know the podocarpus that are starting to get dark and die. And I'm trying to treat that. But when you come, it looks awesome. And I enjoy it. I enjoy it every day. I walk through that thing and I pray. This is why honoring your mother and your father is so hard. Because it's an everyday relationship. And it looks good, but in everyday relationships, you see the crabgrass in the authority's life. Right? So as a child, you can see where the authorities have struggled. And they are not perfect. And they're supposed to represent God, but they do not represent God because of their own sin. And so the temptation as a child is to say, I don't have to respect that. Likewise, in positions of authority, it's very easy to know your children and to say, they don't deserve good things. They are disobedient, and you can be disappointed and not respect that way as well. That's why it's a hard one, and it's overlooked. Because we're trying to understand what honor means, and all we can think of is how everybody's let us down. So first, I want to say, the idea of parents, the idea of a boss, the idea of a police officer, the idea of a government, and the idea of a pastor is authority for your good. Like, God cares for you. That's why he set up parents, teachers, police officers, pastors, presidents, whatever. Because the idea is he wants them to represent something, not their own perfection, but he wants them to represent how we approach God. Like, they represent the structure God has. And so authorities are necessary. You know, if you're a baby and you're born with no parents, I was reading this old, it's from like 500 years ago, commentary, and it was fun because it's like, without parents, all babies would be left in their own filth. Which is a great way to think about it. You'd be left in your own filth. You'd be hungry. And so at a base level, a parent provides something bigger than the baby knows. The baby only knows hungry. That's international Adam for baby.
Hungry.
Because it's always looking up. And the authority provides and protects. The police officer, even though you get stopped by him and you can't stand it, you know they're protecting. Or the government that we don't trust, we always think they're stealing from us, on some level, we understand they're maybe protecting bad things from happening. Or the pastor is praying for you and thinking about you and protecting some things. And so God wants you to live in that reality that there's an authority. Because they represent how we're going to approach God. And God has this authority. And there's going to be things you don't understand. Just like with your parents, just like with the cop, just like with the government. But you still got to respect that authority because God is using it for your good. He's protecting you. And when he's not, he sees that. And when the authority's not working for your good and they're persecuting you, he's well acquainted with the corruption. But what you're doing is building this allegiance and this cycle to how I'm going to believe and trust God. You know? And you start to become the people of God. It's just like kids in my house, all my three kids. If you are Barakat, there's several things that you just become and you do. And it's not fun, always. Like, saving money. That's a thing in our house. If you're my kid, you're going to save money. No child is like, I mean, you're pretty good. My kids are pretty great. So they're like, cool. And it is. It's like, cool, I'm going to save up. But we have so many ways to spend money now that it's very hard when you want to spend the money. And so there's discipline for the time. We know what you actually want. We care for you, we're going to protect you, and you're going to save money. As children of God, we understand that God is over all. He set up structures of authority, and we have to honor them. And by the way, honor means, like at a marriage, like, will you promise to cherish and honor each other? It's to actually care and love. Which, by the way, this is the oil change that we don't want to do. Honoring means to care and love. So like the boss that is using you in your name, we ought to be wanting the boss to succeed because we know the boss is doing things to help the business and we love that position of authority and want it to do well.
Have you been succeeding at that? Or we love our parents so much, even though they've done nothing but fail us in adulthood. Are you succeeding in that? I'm not. And so it draws me, it forces us to go, God, have mercy. And the good news is, he does. He's well acquainted with our failings.
And what we find out is that Jesus understands honoring people who don't deserve it. So that's the issue. It's hard for us to honor people who don't deserve it. And God says, I know about that. And really, this is the harsh part. But I still honor you. You betray me. You disobey me. You act as if I'm not God. You replace me all the time. But I still honor and cherish you because I know who you are and I love you. That's why Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples, one of which is going to betray him. Most of them are going to scatter. That's why he tells the story of the prodigal son, where the father, who is God, waits for the child who squandered all of his money and all of the opportunity. Because the heart of God says, I honor you because my position of authority, you're my child. And so when we run up against authority figures who don't deserve it, we honor them because they're in an authority. Maybe they're scoundrels. And there are times you can find in the Bible where you disobey, you obey God rather than the evil edict. But still, you respect the structure. And life goes well for you. God's like, I'm trying to tell you. And if you think about it, if you care for the boss, you care for your parent, there's opportunities. That person's in authority. And so, like, not even a spiritual idea, just a practical. Some people call it kissing up to the boss. That's not a bad idea. Is it? Has it ever been a bad idea to be like, I'll get the boss coffee? And then everyone's like, oh, you're just trying to get in his good graces. And you're like, yeah. Why? Well, tell me again why that's bad. Because it's not really you, man. I don't think anyone cares about the real me at work. No one remembers what I wear. No one remembers what my story is about where I was last week. They don't care. Look at this. I've been trying to find in the Sermon on the Mount. So you have Moses on the mountain getting the words of God, and then you have Jesus who shows up, and he's on the mountain speaking the words of God as God. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he connects honor your father and your mother in a pretty cool way. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. Page 679. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So position of authority. You're knocking on the door. That's what my kids do in my bedroom. I still always lock it, just in case. But if they knock, can I come in? That's an authority. I don't knock on, I do because I'm nice, but I could just go, what's going on in your room? Because I'm the authority. Jesus says, those of you who knock on the door, you approach me. This is the idea. And here's how we know, because he connects it. Verse 9. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, it's a nice way to think about your parents. If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Then he connects it to a bigger idea. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Isn't that interesting? Ask, and then even evil fathers take care of their kids and then do to others. You know what the connection there is? It's honoring one another.
Is that as the Christian, we've been honored by God, even in our sin, even though we don't deserve it. He says, I am your father now, and you ask and I'll give it. Because what he's interested in is giving life. What he's interested in is taking care of you, entering you into the relationship of Sabbath, where you can trust Jesus and you can be forgiven. And then he says, now you're the kind of people that you honor your parents because they changed your diapers. And you show them grace and mercy. You honor your boss. You honor these people because we now treat people. We actually honor everybody. We honor everybody now. That's why we love our neighbor as ourselves. We do unto others as we want them to do to us. And so, like all the 10 words, the basic thing is honor the people, at least in your family. But now, because of the work of Christ, honor everybody. It's really hard. Very hard. But here's the gospel. So that's the law. The bad news is you haven't changed your oil in 2 years. The good news is for $1,200 I can fix it. Only if you go to the Bible, Jesus says the good news is it's free. The good news is, I forgive you. And so we come to him, and you know what we ask? See, when you recognize the demands and you recognize the reality, what we knock, Dad, will you forgive me? And he says, of course. Even a normal father won't give you bad things, but your heavenly father will forgive you for how you dishonored people, how you dishonored me. I will welcome you in. I am your father now. You are my child. Now, just go treat others that way. You don't owe me anything. And let people who owe you stuff, let it go. Because I'll provide for you. I'm your heavenly father. We have an ice cream shop that opened up literally 3 houses down from my house. Kelly's Homemade Ice Cream. Literally 3 doors. We walk. It's closer than where I walk my dog to go to the bathroom. I pass it to walk my dog to go to the bathroom. So as a result, Grace has gone to Kelly's 3 times this week. Amen. With different people. My wife and I had dinner. We went out to eat, and then we came home, and we just, without even talking, we got out of the car. It's like, I don't want to go in the house yet. And then we're like, where are we going? And we were just drawn to Kelly's. And my son's like, their car's here. They've been abducted. No. Well, yes, we have. Buy ice cream. So we're driving to school, and I said to Grace, I'm like, wow, you're using up all my lunch money. And I keep giving her money for ice cream. She's like, I'm sorry, I'll pay you back. You know, which is like an absurd thing. As a parent, when you hear your child say, I'll pay you back for the nice things that you afforded for me, that you offered to pay for, I will pay you back. And I was like, no, don't pay me back $15. Just promise me this. I want you to live your life, be really creative, and all I want from you is, like, live life. But I also want a painting for my house every year you live. And she's like, maybe the $15 is more reasonable. And I was just thinking, you know, this is it with our Heavenly Father. He's like, I don't want you to pay me back every breath you have, every sunset you've ever seen. I don't want you to pay me back. I want you to live. And I want you to do the things I know you can do and create for me the things that you have. And it will come through honoring me and loving me and coming to me and honor the people that I've put to protect you. It'll go well with you. And instead of dying out, God promises, you know, to the 3rd and 4th generation, you want to see your grandkids, see your great-grandkids. But there's some kind of promise to this that's worth remembering. The last place I want to go is show you what it looks like. You know, most of the commandments and all these things, I don't tell you how to do them because we allow the Word of God to ask us questions and to lead us instead of us leading the Word of God. What should I do now about the Word of God? Well, the Word of God is powerful and it informs us.
So I trust that the Word of God will lead you into ways to apply. We simply announce the Word of God. There's freedom, and there's love, and there's joy, and there's life in honoring God, honoring our parents, honoring authority structures. But here's one way that it takes shape, and that it took shape for Jesus. In John chapter 19, verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. So think about this. Jesus' mother, with her good friends, she's got two friends. Jesus, in the worst moment of his life, he's on the cross. He is in the middle of his own drama. Right? This is it. He's close to death. He's asphyxiating. And what he pushes himself up on the cross, and what is he thinking about? Who's going to take care of my mom? You know, Mary, I honor you. I honor you. You were just a little girl, and you were carrying the Son of God. You raised me, you took care of me, knowing there's something different about me. I honor you, Mary. And all your other sons that we know about, they aren't here. They're scared. But Mary is there, and Jesus honors his mother. And he says, "John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, you take care of my mom." That's powerful. And that's not something, now everybody, get on a cross and do that. See, we can't apply it like that. But what we can grab hold of is that's the heart of Jesus. And in the little moments when our drama is overwhelming, we have this honor from Jesus that allows us to love people even in the midst of our drama. We are empowered to love and to honor. So we honor our parents. Hey kids, we're talking about how you should love and honor your mom and dad because they take care of you. And we honor them by listening to them. So when they tell you to do something, trust that they know what they're talking about, even if it sounds like they don't. Because that's how they have to live under God and at work a lot of times. But we're able to honor our parents and honor each other because Jesus is honoring us. And we've realized it's something bigger. Honoring each other, we are becoming something bigger than just our own story. We're becoming part of a much bigger story. That's the story of honor and love and salvation. We pray. Father, thanks. Thanks for forgiving us of our sin. Thank you for loving us.
I pray that your Holy Spirit would impress on our hearts whatever comfort, if there is any guilt or shame, I pray that you would lead us quickly into confession so that by faith we might be comforted by the truth that we are forgiven and loved. I pray that you bless us and bless the children. And we trust you, Lord. We don't always know how it works or what it's going to look like, but we trust that you know best. Father knows best. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.